Praise.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are here. We are live on the air today. We enjoy being with you all on today. I praise God for being here on today. This is another beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. And I am so happy being here live on the air today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Those of you that have followed me on Facebook and different other media sources, we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about a very, very powerful topic today that is dealing with the work and the Word of God on today, because the Lord has dealt with me on this topic and about the situation between basically between man and God himself. And the thing is that we must come to the realization that there are two things that are going on right now within the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom suffered violence, but the violence take it by force. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take the kingdom of God by force. We're going to take over the devil's kingdom today, because we're going to be talking about this great topic on today. What I want to deal with first of all, before we dive deep into this, is that a lot of people that are in ministry and working for the Lord, you don't have to necessarily be a pastor or a preacher to work for the Lord. You can be a witness. You can be a usher, or whatever the Lord calls for you to do. But there are a lot of saints or ain'ts that look to the work of the Lord and not the Word of the Lord. And what I mean by that is they look more into the glitz and the glamour of the work of God and the preaching and the teaching and the being up in front of people, or the ushering, or praying for people. And, you know, they look at the work of God instead of the Word. In light side of that, they don't look at the Word of God, which means what I mean by that is by living the Word of God in the midst of working, letting somebody see their life, letting their lifestyle speak for itself. And this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about don't become a casualty of war. We talked about, are you ready for war, on last week. Well, today I'm going to be talking about don't become a casualty of war. Now, there are many different casualties in wars, and we the Bible speaks of wars and rumors of wars, and there's been wars throughout the history of time, whether it be talking about such wars as the Civil War, and they had wars in the Bible days. We have scriptures to back up wars in the Bible. We have many men and women that were in war. We see a lot of spiritual wars. We see natural wars. We've seen two wars that I'm very, very, that come to mind for me since I've been in the land of the living is the war that three wars that I know about is the Vietnam War. My grandfather, both of my grandfathers on both sides of my family served during the Vietnam War. And shout out to both of them. And the other war that comes to mind is the war of Desert Storm. My father served during Desert Storm. So we have all of these different wars that we can look at, whether it be natural or spiritual. Another war that comes to mind is the Iraqi War, the Afghan War. We see a lot of wars, but there are some that have are in wars right now, whether it be financial wars, mental wars. It doesn't matter what type of war it is. Don't become a casualty of war. But I really want to touch on the war of fighting for the kingdom. Fighting for the kingdom. That is the war I'm talking about, and that's the war we talked about last week. But when we talk about the war itself, we have to be on guard. Like I said last week, we have to be on guard at all times. But in being on guard and in working for the Lord and in using our weapons for the Lord and in using our spiritual weapons in a spiritual war, we cannot let the weapons of our warfare, which is the spiritual weapons that we have that God has given us, to allow us to allow that to be the main thing that we focus on. Because in the midst of going to war with the enemy, we also have to focus on, we have to be on guard for our own selves as preachers, as teachers. We can't let the glory or the anointing go to our heads. We can't let the healing virtue, because a lot of people talk about miracle signs and wonders. We can't let the miracle signs and wonders go to our heads. And there's a lot of people that there's a lot of preachers that take that miracle signs and wonders and run with it, and they let it go to their heads, and they let it go so far to their heads that they start thinking that they can do anything that they're big and bad enough to do, where they've fallen short, but they want to continue preaching the word of God. They want to continue praying for folks. They want to continue pastoring. They want to continue doing things that are of righteousness, but they don't want to live in holiness. They want to do the holy things. They want to do the holy work. They want to see the manifestation of God, but yet they do not want to live the lifestyle of holiness. Now, what do I mean by living a lifestyle of holiness? That is not just clothes, because it's not just clothes. It's not just all of that, but because you can wear for the sisters, you can wear a long, long skirt down to your ankles and bust a leg of hair wide open. Uh-oh. You can bust a leg of hair wide open by being mean as a snake. Or a brother can wear a three-piece suit and look all good and look all holy and still bust a leg of hair wide open because you don't want to give up that which God has told you to give up, because you want to be disobedient. There was a preacher, an elder, one of my good friends. His name is Elder Pepper. And he said one time, he said, some of these preachers and some of us as teachers have been fired by the Lord and don't know that we fired. We have a form of godliness but have denied the power thereof. Amen. We have denied the power that God has given us. We have a form of it. We have resonated in it so much that we don't understand that we have lost the glory. We've resonated so much in the church house that we have lost the fact that we have lost the anointing. See, there's a difference between anointing and there's a difference between show. Show and anointing are two different things, okay? And in the work of God, you have to be obedient not just to the things that you want to be obedient to, but also to the things that you must be obedient to. Some people may not like me after this show, but I'm a go here. There are levels in Christ that people are trying to reach but can't reach them because they have not given up the things of the world. Uh-oh. I'm going to hit something. I'm going to say it again. There are some that have levels that the Lord wants you to reach. I don't know who I'm talking to. But you cannot reach those levels until you give up what God has told you to give up. Mm-mm. There are some miracles that God is going to give you if you give up the things that God has told you to give up. Mm-mm. You're not ready to give them up, so you're not ready for the miracle. Because God cannot put you in a place that you're not ready for. You might say, well, preacher, wait a minute. God is blessing me. You know, he's blessing my home. He's blessing my finances. He's doing this. He's doing that. You know, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm being blessed. So what are you talking about? Just because every bill is paid and everything is hunky-dory right now does not mean that you are in alignment with the Lord. Mm-mm. I say, well, why do you say that? Because the Bible says he reigns over the just as well as he reigns over the just, also the unjust. He reigns over both, which means he can bless both. He can bless whoever he wants to. That shows that he has no respect of person, as it says in the Word of God, that God has no respect of person. It doesn't matter if you're saint or sinner. He can still bless people, but they're still living beneath your privilege. You can be blessed and still live beneath your privilege. I've said it on the show before. We're all born blessed. You might say, well, you just said we're born blessed, so how am I living outside my privilege? Because every day that you wake up, you're blessed. Every time you open your eyes, you're blessed. Every time you wake up in your right mind, you're blessed. So you're born blessed. Once you came out of your mother's womb, you were blessed. You were born blessed. But that does not mean that you're living, that does not mean you're not living beneath your privilege. Or you are living beneath your privilege. And just because you are downtrodden, you might say, well, do I have to be downtrodden to make sure that I'm anointed? No. Because you're going to have tests. You're going to have trials. You're going to have adversities. You're going to go through stuff. Without the test, there is no testimony. So you're going to go through things. That does not mean that you're not, that just because it's like a catch-22. Just because you're blessed don't mean that you're living for God. But just because you're downtrodden or just because you're going through a time right now doesn't mean that you're not saved either. But your fruit, the fruit that you bear will bear witness. That's how a person's lifestyle is. If your lifestyle is I can do anything, if your mindset and your lifestyle is I can do anything I'm big or bad enough to do. If your mindset is like this, once saved, always saved, you got a problem. And that's becoming a casualty. We know we're in the middle of a spiritual war, and you or I can be our own casualty. We can set up our own demise by not listening to the voice of the Lord, spiritually and naturally. We can set up our own demise. I hear so many people saying, well, the devil did this, the devil did that, the devil did this, the devil did that. Some of that stuff is not the devil. Some of that stuff is us. I'm sorry to say it. I know we like to quote that cliche all the time. The devil made me do it, or the devil did this, or the devil did that. No, the devil. Now, I'm not defending the devil. I'm not defending him because he is accused. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is a lie. We know this. He is a false. He's false. We all know this. But some of this stuff we blame on the enemy is not the enemy. It's ourselves. Some of the pitfalls that we go through is not because always the devil. It is not always the devil. It is because of some of the decisions that we have made in our own personal lives. And we can become a casualty of war if we don't be careful. If we are not careful, we can become a casualty. We can become, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. You can become a casualty in your spiritual walk with Christ. You can become your own spiritual casualty. You can. If you're not following the word of God. Now, there are some that will say, well, I follow the word of God, and you know, I do it the way the Bible says, but this part right here I'm not going to do because, you know, that don't sit well with me. It don't matter if it sit well with you. Let me tell you something. I said it last week. The word of God is not to be seen or not to be taken as a democracy. Everybody got their own opinion on the word of God. Everybody got their own opinion. Everybody got their own two cents. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the word of God, it's only one way. The Bible says there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One. There's only one person that has the right to dictate the way the word of God goes, and that is Jesus Christ, because he is his word, as we read in St. John chapter 1, verse 1. He is the only one that gets to dictate. He is the dictator. He is the director of our lives. I said it before. I heard of a quote from a famous person, and this might sound easy, but those that know me know that in my past, I used to love as a child. I used to love. I don't really love it too much as I'm 30-something years old now. I'm starting to, you know, move away from it now, but a lot more now than I did back then, but everybody that knows me knows that I used to love watching professional wrestling on TV. And one of my favorite wrestlers back when I was a little child was the Ultimate Warrior. And what he said was, and this was a day, and it's funny because it was funny because he said this on the day before his death. The next day he passed away. He said, life is like a dress rehearsal. You are only living what you want your life to be. You are only playing, living out the part of what you want your life to be. And you know what? I added something to what he said. I said, if our life is like a dress rehearsal, or if our life is like a movie, or if our life is like a play, or whatever you want to call it, then the director is Jesus Christ. And the director of a film or a movie, if you know about anything about film and movies, the director directs the actors. He directs them. He tells them where to stand, how to act this way in this scene, and how to act that way in that scene, and tells them where to go and where to stand and how to move. And not only does he direct the actors and the actresses, but he directs the way the camera moves and all of that to get that shot right there and get that shot over there and get that scene right there. That's the way Jesus does with our lives. But we can become our own. And Jesus did this in the Bible. That he used something called parables. He used something called parables. When he used the prodigal son, that was a parable. He was saying that this parable was basically saying about mankind coming back to him. Okay? So this is what I'm getting ready to do right now. I'm getting ready to show y'all something. When you have your director in a film, they tell you what to do, they tell you where to go, they tell you what to, you know, these actors get paid to do this. We get paid for serving God. You didn't know that, did you? The director tells that actor or that actress what to do. Now, if that actor, the director can ask that actor's opinion, but he doesn't have to go with that. He doesn't have to go with that. Just like Jesus says, bring your request unto me. Bring all of your hurts and pains unto me. Let me know what's going on with you. I know what's going on, just like that director knows what goes on with that movie. He knows what's going on with that movie, but he wants your opinion. He wants that actor or actress's opinion about the movie. I've seen it in every movie. If you look behind the scenes of a movie, a Tyler Perry movie or something, Tyler Perry does it all the time. Great example. He asks people's opinion. And when they work with Tyler Perry, they some of them say it's not like we're working for him. It's like we're working with him. And that's the way God wants it. God doesn't want you working for him. He does want you working for him, but he wants you working with him. He wants you working to serve the kingdom. He doesn't force himself. He doesn't force you to serve him. Just like Tyler Perry doesn't force an actor or actress to come to work. You either come to work or you don't. You either do it the way the movie is, the way I wrote it, or you don't. I'll find somebody else to do it. That's going to hit home. And there's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of people, not just preachers, but people in the church, outside of the church, that think they can't be replaced. They think they cannot be replaced. Look, I know I'm replaceable. In life, in the church, in my work with Christ, in the calling that God has called me into, I know I'm replaceable. If I don't do right by my wife, my wife can say, wait a minute, hold up, babe, look, you either need to take care of this, or we need to do something. But if I don't take care of it, or vice versa, that's the same thing with the Lord. If we there were There were men in the Bible with talents. And one had several talents, another one had a number of talents, and one had one talent. And the one that had that one talent hid his talent. You can't hide your work. You can't hide your calling. If you sit there and be like, oh, wait a minute, we're going to do this my way or it's the highway. Look, no, you can't do that. How are you going to tell God how to move on his word? How? Who are you? Who am I? Who am I to tell God that his word ain't real? Who am I? Who am I to say the Bible ain't real? Who am I? I'm a man just like everybody else. I'm a human being just like everybody else. So who am I to tell a mighty, powerful God to say his word ain't real? I hear a lot. I hear some people say that, oh, the Bible ain't real. The devil is a lie. How can you say that? How can you say that? Well, there's no evidence to prove that the Bible is real. Oh, yes, there is. When somebody tells me that, I say, look around you. Look around you. I say, look around you. How do you think that the stars got up in the sky? How do you think the sun sits there in the daylight? It takes a powerful God for that to happen. Because if it wasn't for a powerful God, that stuff would just fall right out of the sky. Where do you think? I had a teacher, a science teacher, and I love telling this story because, and I believe I told this story before on the show, but I haven't said anything about it in a while. But I had a teacher, a science teacher at my high school, and he was an atheist. And he was teaching both the Big Bang Theory and evolution at the same time. I don't know why. I don't know where he got this from. But how you teach both at the same time, I don't know. And nothing against him because that's what he believes in. I don't fight against what people believe. You know, if that's what you believe, that's what you believe. This is not what this show is here for, to demean anybody. But what I am here to do is if you ask me, my opinion, I'm going to give you my opinion. And you might say, well, that's your opinion right there. That's your opinion. Well, you ask me, because my teacher at that time, he asked me, he said, he went around the room and said, which one do you think we came from? Because he was teaching on both, the Big Bang Theory and evolution. And he said, which one do you think we came from? And he went around the room, and a couple people, you know, they said, you know, God, and he looked. And he finally got to me. And I'm thinking in my head, bad move, bro. It's a bad move. And my one friend who is my best friend to this day, they were sitting next to me, and they looked at me, and they was like, oh. They put their head down because they knew what I was getting ready to say and do, because they know me. And I said, well, Mr., you know, I'm not gonna put his name out there. But I said, Mr. So-and-so, no disrespect to your classroom and no disrespect to you, but I did not come from the Big Bang Theory. I did not come from evolution. The Lord created me. As is found in Genesis 1:1, I said, out of everything created, what makes you think? And I told him this. I asked him this. I said, what makes you think that an explosion out of nowhere just created everything? And he said, well, that can happen. I said, well, where did the explosion take place? How did it take place? Because it had to form. To form an explosion, you have to have something to explode. How did it happen? And he could not explain it. And I said, do you have any evidence to prove that an explosion created everything? And he said, well, I can't explain. I said, but I can explain how I was created. And I used the word of God. And I said, how can you explain? If monkeys are at the zoo right now, that we were created by them, why aren't they roaming the earth running over us? Out of so many years now, we're running the monkeys. And the monkeys aren't running us. Well, how does evolution work? Because that evolution don't sit well with me. It just don't sit well. And when he got done, he said, well, I can't explain that. He said, well, how can you explain? He asked me, he said, well, how can you explain the fact that Jesus or God created you? I said, because it had to take an incredible God to keep me alive because of everything I've been through. And I began to go down the list, some of the list of what I had been through in my life. It took an incredible God to keep me alive. It didn't take no doctor. It didn't take no son. And I believe in going to the doctor. I believe in using medication. I believe in that. I don't believe some of these people that are in church, they don't believe in going to the doctor. I'm not against you. If you believe that, I do believe in going to the doctor. I believe we need doctors. The woman with the issue of blood went to a physician after physician. So, therefore, God told us to go to the doctor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But when the doctors fail you, when the doctor could fail me, when the doctor failed me, God stepped in. I'm not about to become a casualty of war because of what somebody else tells me or what somebody else believes. I'm not getting ready to downplay what I believe in because somebody else don't believe it.
Come on.
And that's what I'm talking about, becoming a casualty of war. And he thought just because I was a teenager and just because I knew that I was in his classroom that I was going to back down. Sometimes, now, there are some times where I heard a bishop say, there are times that the Lord will have you speak up and speak out.
Come on.
And at that time, and I got threatened by my teacher. He threatened to call my parents. He said, you're being disruptive. I said, no disrespect. No disrespect to you. I said, you can call my parents. Call them. I said, I guarantee you I will not get in trouble for this. I guarantee you I will not get in trouble. And he went and called my mama. Bad move, because my mama, because my mama went in on him and said, he's right.
Come on.
So he didn't get the result with my mother. He sent me to the dean's office. And the Lord stepped in. I felt like the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Because this is the same thing. Don't become a casualty of war. Because when people tell you that the word of God's not real, when they tell you that God is not present in your life, when the enemy tells you God is not pleased with you, and you know God is pleased with you and what you're doing for him, don't you take it lightly. What you're going through right now, you cannot become a casualty. Look, let me tell you something. This man sent me to the dean's office. The dean had nothing. The dean had no words. The dean, who was supposed to be the disciplinary action of the students, and the dean said, wait a minute. He said, I have no words. Mr. Tuggle, he said, I have no words, Mr. Tuggle. He said, I'm going to have to take this up with the principal. Now, usually in high school, they do not go to principals. The principal doesn't deal with it. I've seen the principal deal with the disciplinary actions of students in elementary school or in middle school, but not high school. They have deans for that. And the dean, he said, I can't address this. And I asked him why. He said, because this is taking on a whole new problem. Because now it's dealing with spiritual belief. I have to take it to the principal. And he took it to the principal. And I went, he sent me to the principal's office like I was an elementary student. And I sat there and I told my principal what took place. He said, I'm going to do this. My principal said this. I will never forget that man's name. His name was Mr. McKinney. He said, I'm going to do it like this. He said, I'm going to get your side of the story. And I'm going to go down and get this teacher's side of the story. I said, yes, sir. And I told him what took place. I said, he asked me my opinion on where were we created from. And he said, what did you say? He said, did you push? Because before he left me in his office with the dean. And he went down to the teacher that I had the issue with. And that teacher told my principal, said that I pushed my religion on him and the other students. He came back and said, did you ever try to push your religion on anybody? I said, no, sir. I said, I was asked my opinion, and I gave it. He didn't like it, and he threw me out of the room. He tried to call my parents, and my parents did not agree with them because they believed the same way I do. And after he got off the phone with my parents, he sent me to the dean's office. And he said, my principal then said, Mr. Tuggle, come with me. And he walked me back down to my science class. And he said, he called the teacher out of the room, and he talked to both of us. He said, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Tuggle says this. He said, is this true? He said, no, he pushed his religion on us. He pulled another student out of the room. And that student was my witness. And he called that teacher back out, and he said, if you ever do that again, you will be fired. He said, you had no right sending this young man out of that classroom for asking him his opinion. You had no right. The Lord fought the battle for me. So there are times where the enemy will try to get you to be a casualty.
Amen,
sometimes
amen.
Your very words about you talking about the name of Jesus will be challenged. We're challenged every day. Look, let me tell you something. In war, you're challenged every day. I said it on last week. We are to be on guard every single day, 24/7.
Yes,
this is a 24-day.
Preach.
This is a 24/7 war. Now, this is a war that naturally cannot be seen. That's why it's so hard for man to understand the importance of this spiritual war that we're in, because they can't see it with the natural eye. But if you take on the Holy Ghost, you can see it through the spiritual eye. And you know what my pastor used to say to us sometimes? My former pastor used to say, let the pastor be the pastor. And the reason why she used to say that, she used to say, God gives us insight as pastors and as leaders that we can see further than you can. That's why God didn't call you to be the pastor. So I'm going to use her words today. If you take on the Holy Ghost, and if you take on the calling that God has called you, you'll be able to see it through the spiritual eyesight better than you could see through the natural. Because people, yes, I've heard of people seeing things that are in the spiritual, in the natural. But your mind, it's a mind thing. That's why some people can't believe the word of God, because they can't. They're on, can I say finite minds? They're in a finite mindset. unless they can comprehend it with the natural mind, they can't. You have to have a spiritual mind. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You have to have, take on a spiritual mindset. You cannot have a natural mindset and live out the word of God, because everything that you do is not going to be natural. Some of the things don't look to the natural is going to look crazy to the natural mindset, to the natural eye. Some of the things that we do in the spiritual look crazy to the natural. It looks crazy. Why are you fat? Wait, why are you fasting? Why are you always on your knees praying? Why every time I look at you, and these are just some examples, y'all, why every time I'm looking at you, you in the Bible? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why are you giving so much? Why are you doing that? Why? Because it might look crazy to you, but it's making me stronger. It's making me stronger. See, I'm going off the word of God. I'm going off God today, because I had a scripture and everything and notes and everything, and I ain't even got to that yet. But this is what it is. If we look in, if I could give a scripture, the scripture I was going to give was in Judges chapter 6, where it talks about Gideon. Gideon was a leader. He was a leader. And in his leadership, Gideon was to go and have his army defeat the Midianite army. But he wasn't doing, he was following the procedures that was laid out before him by God. That's why I say don't become a casualty of war. Because if you fought, like anybody that's in the army or in the military or whatever, if that person steps out of the plan or the mission that they have set, somebody can be killed. The whole platoon could be wiped out by one person not following their own procedures. Do you know that there are people in the spiritual, there are pastors and preachers that are preaching false doctrine, sending people with every which wind, and they are messing them up? They're wiping out a whole soul line of people. Just a lot of people by the actions and the words that they say. They're preaching prosperity messages all the time. Yes, I love prosperity, but you can't – look, the Bible says prosper. You'll prosper as what? Your soul prospers. If your soul is not prospering, you're not prospering. You might be prospering in the natural, but everything in the natural, you might be receiving the finest house, the finest car, the finest clothes, the finest this, the finest that. But until your soul prospers, all of that stuff is going to fade away one day. All of that's going to go away one day. We cannot live, or we are not to be supposed to be building up treasures down here. We're supposed to be building treasures up for heaven. We're pilgrims passing through this present land, the Bible says. Songwriter says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Another part of that song says, will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? Look, I have a house not built by man's hands. Old song says, there's a leak in this old building in my soul.
Oh, come on now.
There's a leak in this old building in my soul.
Got to move.
One day, soul is going to move out of this old rugged body.
Yes.
Where is your soul going to spend eternity? Look, if you find yourself And I'm going to say this to anybody that's listening. And if you want to call in and give a comment, you can. I'll gladly.
Praise him.
If your soul is not prospering, then you are not prospering. Hear me, man, a woman, a child, a son, daughter, whatever you want to call yourself. Hear me today. I don't know why I'm going here, but if your soul is not prospering, if your soul is in jeopardy, you are not prospering. You can have all the fine cars you want to. Look, me and my wife, we decided to have a date weekend. Amen. But that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean a thing. We can have all the nice cars on we want to. I can take her to the finest, luxurious hotel. We can have the most luxurious vacation, but that don't mean nothing. If my soul is not right, and if her soul is not right, but it's look, the finest vacations. The glorious, the finest hotel, the luxury hotels, man, that ain't got nothing compared to heaven. Heaven is my goal. And it's waiting for us. We got mansions. This is what God died for. I know we're getting ready to go into Easter in a couple weeks. This is what God died for. This is what God died for.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
So that we would not become a casualty. If a person ends up, and I'm going to say this, if a person ends up lifting up their eyes in hell, you have become a casualty. And it is not anybody's fault but yours. There are people. Let me tell y'all this. There are people, you might say, well, how do you know who's going to hell and who's not? I don't, but I know that there's people in hell. Well, how do you know? Well, you can't say that. You can't say that. Yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. Because, number one, the Bible says hell enlarges itself daily. That's first scripture. The Bible also says, I saw the dead, what, small and great. Mm-hmm. And these people that John saw in the book of Revelation, when he said, I saw the dead, small and great, at the end of that verse, he was talking about the lake of fire. That means that there's going to be men, women, and children. I'm sorry to tell y'all. Now, you might say, well, where did my loved one go? I don't know. I have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. I just know that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. And our souls are going to spend eternity somewhere. There are some people that say that there's purgatory. There is no purgatory. The Bible did not say that there was a purgatory. The day you find if there is somebody listening that says that there is a purgatory, you find it in the Bible and come on this show. And I want you to explain it to me. Because From Genesis to Revelation, I have not seen a purgatory. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He didn't lift his eyes up in purgatory. He lifts up
you better teach, son, teach.
There are people that are falling by the wayside because of what people have told them and what people have said unto them and directing them the wrong way. And I'm here to tell you, if you're being directed the wrong way spiritually, if you're not being taught the word of God, or if you're being taught half the word of God, let me tell you that too. Let me say this too. If you're being taught half, If your preacher is tearing out the word of God and only saying, well, this half works, that half don't, that half don't apply to us no more. The Bible is the Bible. The word of God is the word of God. If you're gonna follow Genesis to Malachi, you gotta follow Matthew to Revelations, or vice versa. You cannot take out, look, the Bible says, don't take nothing away or don't add to it. If you're going to preach it right. You have to tell people how to be saved. But there is a way to do it. Now, I'm not going to say bash anybody. Don't do that. You tell them in a loving, compassionate way. But sometimes with the word of God and the enemy, we have to be forceful, especially with the enemy, because the enemy is shrewd. And I said it on last week, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's those little foxes that destroy the vine. I had one of my best friends, I said it on the show before, my best friend at the time, he wanted to be saved. He wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I was in California. He called me and said, "Bruh, I want to be saved. I want to give my life over." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, you can go find you a church, and you know they'll baptize you and whatnot." He said, "No, I don't trust anybody else." He said, "I want Pop to baptize me." He was talking about my father, because we were so close that I called his father Pop and he called my father Pop. We came from two different families, but we were that close. And I knew when he said, "I want Pop to baptize me," he wanted my father to baptize him. And I said, "Okay, all right. Well, guess what? I'm going to give you..." I said, "I'm in California right now, but I guarantee you, you call my mama, you call my mother, or you call my father, and they will find you, and you go to them, and they will baptize you in Jesus' name, and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost today." He said, his words were, "Are you in California?" "Yes." He said, "Well, I'm going to wait for you to come back." And I told my reply was, "Don't wait for me." I said, "If the Lord is tugging at your heart right now, you go ahead and do that thing now. Don't you wait for me, because I may not make it back to I may not make it back to Indianapolis."
Teach.
Mm-hmm. So all of these preachers that are saying that people want to get baptized, and you saying, "Well, we'll do it next Sunday, or we'll schedule a Sunday." No, baptize them right then and there. No, I was taught old school. You baptize them right then and there, because the devil is
true. Dip them in the tub.
you will have them people come next Sunday and be like, "Oh no, I don't want to be baptized," or not have them come at all. You better take them down in the water right then and there. I'm right now, me and my wife. If somebody came to me and my wife. Like I said, we having a date weekend, and we're spending time together. But she respects my ministry and she loves my ministry, so she allows me to do my ministry even though we're spending time together. She said, "Go ahead and do your show."
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
And so what I'm saying is, if somebody at the hotel that we're staying at right now, somebody came to me and said, "I wanted to be baptized," I'd be like, "Baby, I will take them down in Jesus' name, right in that pool. Don't matter where you're baptized, as long as you get baptized in Jesus' name."
In the pool, in the tub, hallelujah, wherever. Right. Come on now,
little brother. Like, "Baby, I got to do something." And I will baptize them in Jesus' name. That's how deep, that's what I mean by being, that's what I mean by being deep and sincere with your calling. That's what I mean by
yes.
being deep and sincere with the word of God. That is what I mean by being deep and sincere with the kingdom of God. You have to take this seriously. This is our first importance. Everything
else is now.
When it comes to souls, when it comes to God speaking to us and telling us to do something, everything else goes right out the window. Now, I will say it, I love my wife, and the Lord knows I love my wife. My wife knows I love her. My children know I love her. My children know I love them. But if God tells me to do something right then and there, I have to do it. I'm sorry, baby, but God told me to do this. God told me to do, and she respects it. She always tells me, I'm not trying to get in trouble with God. You better go ahead and do what God told you to do. I love her for that. But I'm saying this is the important.
Man.
But a whole lot of people get it twisted because they are so caught up in the work of God instead of the word of God. And you can't have one without the other.
You better say that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah.
You cannot have one without the other. You can have the works. Some people try to use the works of God, the miracles, signs, and wonders, and they don't want to do the word of God. They don't want to live in the word of God, or some people want to live in the word of God and still be lazy with the work of God. You can't have one without the other. How do we know this? You might say, well, brother, how do you know this? Well, the Bible says, and you might say, well, you are saying the Bible says, well, there's no other word, there is no other word to go to, first of all, that the Bible talks about the works of God. He said, greater works than these shall ye do. Okay? And he also says, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Amen. With the anointing, see that's why God just took me there. That is why some of these churches that we've seen in the past before the pandemic happened. Do you know why the Spirit of God ain't in some churches and why the services are all jacked up? Because they letting spirits flow through their church that ain't supposed to be in there, and they thinking it's the Spirit of God because somebody got a gift of sin.
Come on.
And they wondering why people's families are all jacked up, and they wondering why the preacher over here is sleeping with this woman over here. Because they over here letting people that are committing adultery and all this other stuff.
Keep it 100. Tell it.
They laying hands on people and spreading them spirits all around.
Oh, God, you got no power. Come on.
And you just living off of a gift instead of the anointing. Jesus. There was a preacher here in Indianapolis by the name of Bishop Goldler. And I believe his first name was Morris Ellis. His middle name was Ellis, but it was Bishop Goldler. He was the pastor and the founder of Grace Apostolic. He was the founder of Grace Apostolic. And one day he had a service. They were in service. And he was up at the podium. He was up in the pulpit. He was getting ready to preach. And they just got out of, I think, prayer service, I think. And what happened was he picked up the mic, and he started saying beans, like beans that you eat, beans. And he kept saying it low. He was like, bings. And then somebody got somebody started, "Ooh, Jesus, thank you." And then you just kept saying, "Things." And then another person was, "Ooh, Jesus, oh God.
Lord have
mercy."
And he kept saying,
he said, "Things." And he said it so low that you couldn't hear what he was saying. And he kept saying, "Bings." And then the whole church started praising.
And he ain't said nothing. Lord have mercy.
He didn't say nothing but bings. He said, my father told me this story. He said, "I done sat up here and said bings for like 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Come on now, make a play.
Y'all done jumped up and everything." He said, "Y'all need to watch what y'all praising the Lord for. Because some of that wasn't the anointing. I'm sitting over here saying bings. I ain't said nothing about the word of God. I'm saying a food, and y'all sitting over here shouting. And y'all ain't heard a word I just said." And that's the same thing that goes on in the church. We ain't heard a word that the pastor done said. We ain't heard a word but we ready to just jump up. We ready to jump up. Look, let me show y'all something. Ooh, boy. We ready to jump up when it's prosperity messages, but we ain't ready to jump up when it's a cutting message. We ready to rock out the church.
Come on, you better tell the truth.
We ready to walk out the church. We ready to get mad at the pastor. We ready to, "Oh, the pastor's picking on me." The devil is a liar. The pastor ain't picking on you, especially if the pastor keep preaching the same old sermon after sermon after sermon. And it's the same one. Obviously, that man or woman of God
the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you, child. Hallelujah.
The Lord is trying to tell you something. The Bible says a warning come before what? Destruction. He's trying to warn you. He's trying to warn you, silly pig.
Listen.
He's trying to warn you. But you ain't taking heed. We ain't taking, and I'm going to say we, because you know what? Everybody in I'm not going to say everybody, but some people have been in that place in their walk with God. I'm sorry. I've been
there.
Come on,
we all been there. Come on.
You might say, "Well, you're always talking about, Minister Adam, you're always talking about us, but what about you?" Yes, I've been there. That's how I know.
Amen.
It was cutting messages that my current pastor and my current first lady has preached. I didn't like it.
But it was the truth.
But it was good for my soul. My pastor, look, I'm going to say it like this. One day my first lady, before she became first lady, she got down and we were at our former church, and she got down at the altar and she was praying. And my former pastor came down out of the pulpit and sat next to her. And this is what people need to understand. And this is what we need to do in the spiritual. She got down next to her, and she said, "Baby, eat the spinach. Eat the spinach." Some of us, what she was meaning by that was, eat the stuff that you don't like out of the word of God. You might get some spinach in the word of God that you don't like. You might get cut, say, "Ouch," cut it out, let the Lord cut it out, and move on. It ain't no time for you to be. There are some that will literally, and I'm not saying that they're literally doing it, but want to cuss out the pastor because the pastor done told them the truth. Uh-oh. He trying to help you. She trying to help you, and you sitting over there. We're pressing against the word of God, and I'm not talking about pressing. I'm not talking about pressing for the mark for the prize of the high calling, neither. I'm talking about we're pressing against the word of God. And the Bible says it's hard. The Bible says it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard.
Yeah, amen.
You're going to hurt yourself kicking against him. You sitting over there throwing a spiritual temper tantrum and wondering why God is whooping you. Now, me growing up in the natural, when I threw a fit as a child, I threw one fit with my father. One. And my father, I will bring, if y'all don't believe me, I will bring my father on this show just to verify. I threw one as a four-year-old child. I threw one fit. One. My father looked at me and asked me, boy, have you lost your mind? Helped me up off the floor, begin to wore my behind out. And I got over that. Never did it again. And that's the way God is dealing with some of us. We are throwing spiritual temper tantrums when the word of God comes forth. Oh, pastor's picking on me. Pastor's picking on me. Oh, that meant that man knew he didn't have to say that. That woman knows she didn't have to say that. And they go behind the pastor talking about the pastor behind their back. You better watch who you talk about. You better watch. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. You better watch it. Whoever you are, if you talking about the man and woman of God behind their back, after they done preached the sermon or after they done got through talking to you and you going around the church, I see it all. The Lord, I done seen it all. I done heard it all. In 33 years, you better watch who you talk about. We have examples in the Word of God where people have made fun of preachers and stuff, and they have literally... they have lied to preachers, and they have literally fell dead. Don't play with God. I'm going to tell you like this. Your arms are too short to box with God. I'm going to say it again. If you mess with the prophet or the man or woman of God, and they are living a holy and clean lifestyle, then, hey, let me tell you something. You better get it right. You better stop it. We are going to we are definitely going to take some questions. If you have any questions right now, we ask you to call in. You may ask, or whatever you might want to do.
Amen.
And we can answer your question. I am so, and I'm going to say this, Bishop Cook. It's okay. You know what I'm talking about. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay.
They gave me permission.
I heard that. But you know, I love my baby girl too. You know.
Yeah. They gave me permission.
You know what I'm talking
about.
Okay.
But the word of God, is a powerful, powerful tool if you use it right. It's powerful. The work of God can be powerful, too, if you use it right. We have people that need this. There are people that need this.
Yes,
there
amen. Amen.
That need this.
Yes.
There,
glory.
There are people that need to not only hear this, but see this.
Yeah. Preach.
What do you mean by see this? I mean, you might be the only Bible. They may not have never read a Bible, but see your lifestyle and know
come
that the
on,
word of
come
God
on.
Is good.
Preach, young man.
Even when I walk out with my wife, they should see God and not me. When we were at dinner last night, hey, look, let me tell you something. They saw God. I love my wife. And I had, and you know what? You know, we went out and we were looking all nice and everything. It's good to look nice. Now, I'm not talking against looking nice, because it's good to look nice. It's good to dress up. You know, you go out, you know, you go into church or whatever, it's good to look nice. But out of your nice, out of your looking good and getting on some nice, a nice suit or a nice pair of jeans or whatever you want to call it, let them see the glory of God out of it. Not, don't let them see you. Let them see God, because you are the representation of Jesus Christ. They should see God first and you second. He created us for him to get the glory. Not just he is not only to get the glory out of the troubles that we have in life that we testify about, but he's also to get the glory out of what they see us doing on a day-to-day basis. That's hard. That's hard, ain't it? I'm going to say it again. He is not only to get the glory out of the tests and trials that we testify about.
Yeah.
But he's also to get the glory out of the way we live our life on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, sir.
If man sees you. I told somebody the other day, I told my barber, and this was my barber, he said, well, you're a man of God. He said, how can I tell a person that is that's in church from a person that goes to church? Because there is a difference. I said, you can tell them by their lifestyle. And he said, what do you mean? I said, because if I'm calling myself a man of God, and I see my, and you see me doing the same things as the world, but still calling myself a man of God, I am not a man of God. I am a liar. I'm a liar. And the truth that enemy, and I need to sit down somewhere, and I'm using me as an example, y'all. I'm not doing
anything. Keep it real, young man. Amen.
I'm using me. So I won't offend nobody. If I'm sitting here calling myself a preacher or a man of God or whatever I want to call myself, then I need to act like it. I need to talk like it. I need to dress like it. I need to walk like it. I need to speak like it. My conversation with people need to be like it. But if I'm not doing that, that which is of God, then I'm not a man of, I'm not a man of God. If I'm not doing that. Because I'm now putting myself in the category of just having religion or going or just going to church. Amen. I'm going to be, and in that, I'm going to be obedient to the watchman on the wall of this station.
Amen. Glory to God.
Enjoyed this program on today. I'm going to come again next week.
Yes, you
and
are.
I'm going to finish this up. But I've been told to go ahead and cut it kind of short today, because me and my wife are still in our date weekend.
That's right.
So I'm going to go ahead and be obedient to the watchman on the wall of the station, which is Bishop Cook.
God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you.
And I'm going to be obedient to my wife, because my wife just gave me a look. So
she read to go.
So, amen. I love you guys. But I do want to say this before we go. I do want to say this. Don't become a casualty of war, y'all. Don't become
Amen.
A casualty of war.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's very, very vital that we all make it. And don't be, and I didn't mention this before, but there are some people that are casualties and trying to take people with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save that for next week. But don't be a casualty, and don't, if you are going to be a casualty at your own leisure. Don't take nobody with you.
Amen.
You want to, if a person wants to go, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it bluntly. If you want to go to hell by yourself. But don't take nobody with you. Don't go by yourself. And I'm not judging anybody when I say that. I'm just putting it bluntly. If you want to live any kind of way, then that's on you. But don't take anybody with you. That's all I'm saying. I'm not judging nobody. I'm not hitting anybody across the head when I say that. But I'm not fearing nor trembling when I say it neither. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, as it stays.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until
love
next
you.
Saturday, y'all have a blessed week, blessed rest of your weekend and a blessed week. And if I do not see you or if you do not hear my voice again, as my grandmother Lois used to say, if I don't see you again in this life, I will see you in the rapture, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Glory to God.